What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman here, one of the owners and operator of Refined Tile and Design, coming to you on the Refining Exchange podcast. We're starting a new series called Under the Surface, where we talk to local business owners, operators, entrepreneurs in Wilmington, North Carolina, specifically in the residential trades. So we're excited to bring to you a couple of these stories, a couple of these business owners that service the area and that we love to get to work with. We're here with the guys from Coastal Cabinets, Chris and Andrew. Appreciate having you guys out here chatting about your guys' background. And obviously, a lot of our viewers are familiar with Mike and, you know, some of the start of Coastal Cabinets. So excited to talk about that and, you know, some of the things that you guys are learning and you guys are changing and evolving into as a business. So just to start, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
Tell me about kind of your background pre-Coastal Cabinets.
So I moved down here to Wilmington almost 6 years ago now. Before that, I was up in Michigan working for a cabinet shop there for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. Started out installing and then kind of just progressed my way up within the business to managing projects before I moved here. Prior to that, I grew up in New York and then moved to Michigan for college. And once I graduated from college, realized I couldn't sit at a desk. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started doing interior trim for a high-end builder, and then he bought a cabinet shop and then moved from there. And
nice. What was your degree in college?
I got a bachelor's in business and city planning.
Okay. And you didn't go to University of Michigan, right?
No.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure, which you're a Michigan fan.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm interviewing you two. Bad ties. So that's awesome. So then you decided... what was the reason for moving from Michigan to North Carolina?
Michigan is a really cold climate.
Yeah.
Even though right now we have really cold weather here.
Yeah.
But just my wife and I just felt like it wasn't home. We didn't feel settled, mm-hmm. even though she is from there.
Yeah.
We just felt that we were being called to move someplace. And we'd been to Wilmington a couple times on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is within a day's drive of a really long day's drive to Michigan and New York,
yeah.
where our parents are. So
yeah.
That was important to us.
Gotcha.
To be able to drive back to see parents.
I gotcha. So you don't have any family in North Carolina?
No. So we moved here not knowing a single person.
Yeah.
And
pre-kids?
No. Our youngest was one. So it was 6, 4, and 1.
Wow.
When we moved here.
Wow.
So bought That's a house awesome. Without even walking through it. And we went for it.
Did you have a job at Coastal at that time?
Or no. So when I first moved here, I was installing for a few different cabinet companies, 1099. Mm-hmm. And Mike, Coastal Cabinets was one of them.
Okay.
And then did that for a little while and then Mike hired me on full time.
Nice. It's awesome. Yeah. Chris, what about you?
I'm pretty much, a local ish here. I'm a transplant. My dad was military, so
yeah.
Bounced around a little bit as a little kid growing up, but kind of settled here in late 80s, early 90s. So I've been here for 35 years,
yeah.
kind of call myself a local, got here before the whole influx of those Yankees moving down from their cold weather climates, you know? Did that and went to high school here, went away for college for a year in Charlotte. Kind of the mindset was I want to do something architectural related.
Mm-hmm.
After going for a year there in school, decided Charlotte wasn't really the place for me. Came back home, went to Cape Fear Community College,
mm-hmm.
Got a 2-year degree in architectural technology, and had every intention to kind of ping pong back to that architectural field college, you know, NC mm-hmm. State, back to Charlotte. But I hooked up with a local residential designer. I did some drafting work for him for about 4 or 5 years, and then the housing crash in 08 kind of derailed a lot of those smaller time businesses that relied on those mid-level homes for work, just found a Craigslist ad that had Coastal Cabinets was needing
yeah.
somebody just to kind of manage their CAD workload and just kind of build a database for that. And
mm-hmm.
When I interviewed with Mike, got a job that day, and
yeah.
Pretty much he said, "You come, can you stay?" Like at
yeah.
the interview, it was like, "You need to stay."
Yeah.
So I can be in tomorrow.
yeah.
So pretty much been with Mike for 16
wow.
years or so. Yeah.
So, and then to put context to timing, what mm-hmm. year ish did you start with Mike? If you were 2010 ish,
2019.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
So you're
yeah.
much more recent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And so going back to you, Chris, speak to the difference, the main difference. We talk about like being in the trades, and obviously Coastal is a very high end trade partner for a lot of the custom builders that we both work with. Speak to the difference of being in the trades versus maybe being an architecture firm.
Yeah. So, it's just a little bit more hands-on, I think, in the trades, right? The design side of it, or in the architect's office, maybe they can get out there and get in the field, and they can design that and kind of have a picture of what they want. Mm-hmm. But when you're really in that trade, you kind of got to take that and put a little bit of more reality to it, and how something can maybe function, or how it does function.
Yeah.
Different materials and things, and how those work together. Kind of take that concept and put it to an actual physical object that you can touch and hold.
Yeah. So do you enjoy that more? Is that what's kept you in?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of like sucked me in a little bit. I would not call myself a woodworker by any means, compared to the guys that we have in the shop and the skills that we have. Yeah. I'm very novice, garage type guy. I can do some little things here and there, but, I rely on my design kind of background in the architectural residential field to kind of help me through what I do daily at the shop. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that. So the spatial planning and how the cabinets are oriented and different things is really big to me in the different styles and stuff that we use.
That's cool. That's awesome. Going back, and I'll probably tee you up for this one too, Chris, since you've been with Mike a little bit longer, what's like, tell me the Coastal Cabinet story in 60 seconds and kind of who Mike is, which, again, I know a lot of our viewers know Mike, but from your perspective, getting to work with him.
Yeah, so he's just started out one man, one truck, cabinet shop in the early 80s, and pretty much has just kind of grown, added employees here and there, added his clientele base and the contractors that he works with, and kind of just built that reputation that we're trying to uphold right now. And has grown that company into what we have today. We have, went from himself, sole guy, to 20 plus employees, managing several projects at a time. And he's a great, great, great boss. Takes care of everybody very well. It's very family oriented. We're all pretty close at the shop. And you can go to Mike for anything. He's the person that'll do anything for you if you need it. At the drop of a hat, you don't even have to hesitate. Yeah. So he's a great person to work for.
That's awesome. What's like the last 6 to 7 years been like as you guys have started to take over a little bit more of the leadership responsibilities, not speaking on Mike's behalf, but from your guys' perspective coming through like as project managers and then taking over more of the day-to-day leadership. Do you want to take that one?
Sure. So from my perspective, I can't speak for Chris, but it's a learning curve. You think of Mike starting out in the 80s when, he had one himself, and then you add a little bit here, you add a little bit here. His ability to manage or oversee multiple facets kind of grew as a business grew. So now Chris and I, we step in and the shop is what it is. And in order to manage that same workload, there's a lot to learn to be able to manage multiple people, multiple projects. To Mike, it's natural. I mean, he grew with the business, and he does a phenomenal job at it. But there's been a learning curve for sure for us in that regard.
Yeah. What's like one of the biggest things as you've, again, transitioned from project management to more higher level leadership of the whole business, or at least day to day, that you've had to learn or grow in?
I think one of the hardest things we do is people manage.
Absolutely.
And that is without a doubt, probably one of the biggest stressors. We, like Chris said, we are a family. We have fun together. If you come to our break room at lunchtime, there's laughter. Everyone's having a good time. Yeah. But at the same time, we're all individual people and we all have to work together. So, learning how to leverage people's strengths and weaknesses properly.
Yeah.
So that we can all work together is probably the hardest part.
That's really good. I love that. I actually just had a conversation with my business coach, my mentor, about that, is like how to put each person in their unique strengths to like in a position to be the most successful. And I think as a leader, that can be challenging because you may need them over here, maybe for a season or maybe for even for a specific project, let's say, but that doesn't fit their strengths. And, maybe they're unhappy or grumble or what have you. And then you're like, well, I got to reposition them and or cast vision where they're going to be back into their strengths. Maybe long term. So I get that for sure. What about you? What do you feel like?
Yeah. I kind of, when I first started working for Mike, it was more of a, work kind of under him. So I was always involved in the projects and from the design side, from the kind of the get-go in on the client meetings. So I kind of already had that a little bit as we transitioned into more of like the management type role. Mm-hmm. I started managing projects on my own prior to Andrew arriving at the shop. So I kind of already had, I could manage a project. I could manage a couple of guys that were working on that project. But the transition, like Andrew said, from you're managing one or two guys here to get your project done is a lot different than managing 20 guys, where they go, what they do. Like you said, how they interact with each other, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, mm-hmm. and trying to balance that to keep the efficiency of the shop going.
Yeah, that's good. So take me through, again, I'm hitting on like kind of this transition point. Obviously, Mike built a great company, great mm-hmm. reputation, great people. He's developed you two in your all's career, and you guys have kind of continued on that, you know, legacy. How has it been when you like look at processes and like maybe the processes that Mike had versus some tweaks, changes, et cetera, that you guys have had to make? What are some of the processes that you guys have? And some of this is technology related, right?
Yeah.
You know, that has just been either come with time or come because it's been a need in the industry. But like, what are some of the processes that have changed over the past 4 to 6 years in your guys' business that has helped like propel you guys forward?
I think for the most part, we're pretty much doing it kind of the same way. The process from how you get that project or that job that you're working mm-hmm. with that contractor, that builder, that homeowner, is pretty much the same. There's a little bit of tweaks there. Technology is a big factor. We try to use the computers as much as possible to automate things for us and put things into place that, you know, you don't have to have a guy there with a calculator and a pencil anymore. Yeah. You can do things to help automate to get stuff down to the shop quicker. That increases your efficiency in the shop, allows you to process things faster and maybe run multiple jobs at the same time instead of just one kind of flowing through. You can maybe run two, you can maybe run three jobs through the shop, mm-hmm. And kind of help limit those mistakes. And that's just all things that just came over time with technology. I mean, I think we still kind of run it the same way. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the best. Technology is probably the biggest thing, like you said.
Yeah. What about like training people and developing? We talked about, we were at the seller's Christmas party a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, and we were talking about hiring this younger generation yeah. and getting them involved with the older generation and kind of marrying the two of those. How mm-hmm. has that been? Maybe you take that a stab at that one, but like, how has it been like bringing in these younger guys, Mike's grandkids, and yeah. getting them involved while giving them responsibility, not too much, and like trying to give them a pathway to staying within the company?
Yeah. And having that training of people with the wealth of knowledge that are, you know, 5-10 years away from retirement and transferring that down to younger generations. I had that when I first started installing cabinets, is extremely important, because a lot of that stuff they've learned over time and they can transfer it quickly, that knowledge, to the younger guys. We've really pushed to get some younger guys in and team them up with, older, more seasoned cabinet makers.
Yeah.
You know, Mike's got two grandkids. Elijah's out in the field installing right now, and he's doing an awesome job. Gideon's learning from Chris and I on the project management side of things. And if you don't do that, if you don't train the younger guys, mm-hmm. your business is going to die as the older guys retire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the other good thing it does, and we were doing this a little bit when I was at Sellers, is it kind of brings a little bit of energy. If mm-hmm. you can, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about managing people earlier there. If you can manage some of the differences in the generations, like there, the younger guys can bring a little bit of an energy to the older guys. And yeah. obviously the wisdom and imparted on the younger guy gets them engaged. I think what we were talking mm-hmm. about a couple of weeks ago is like they can see the wealth of knowledge that the older guys have and maybe the success of the career that they have. And it kind of like helps them visualize like who they can become within the industry. They can kind of carve out a path for themselves to be successful. So if you put them with the right people yeah. and stuff.
And there is that excitement. We've got one guy, James, that when he figures out and how to do something new, he is, yeah. he's stoked. He's really excited on it and he'll tell you about it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. Another thing we were chatting about before we started recording was kind of work-life balance. So you guys both have three kids.
Yeah.
So you guys are both in the, what are the ages again? 1, 4, and 6?
No, not anymore. That's when we moved. So now we're almost 13. We're 11 and six.
And those are all girls.
All girls.
And then you got?
Yeah, two boys, 7.5, 5.5, and a little girl, almost 3.
My gosh, that's awesome.
You didn't have to think about that. I had to think a little bit. Yeah,
he gets tested.
Your brain's a little bit more rotted out from the kids on that one.
Chris, what's work-life balance look like for you?
It's really tough, man, especially when you're in like a management role. If you're just an employee, you get to that 5:30 bell, 5 o'clock bell, right? You get in the truck, you go home, and that's it. You don't have to think about anything. You can just, I'll see you next morning, right?
Yeah.
That management role, you know, we're typically the last ones leaving. We're letting everybody else go first, and then we're kind of leaving. We might not be leaving 15 minutes later than what everybody else is. So once we leave the shop or I leave the shop, I try to shut that off as best I can. So and that's just me just trying to devote some time to my kids, my wife, and try to leave that every day at the shop if I can. I'll take calls here and there depending on, you know, the need for it, and throughout the week, just because I know how stuff is. And then the weekends, I really, really try hard to just block it out if I can.
Shut it down.
Just shut it down. Like the weekends, I really, really try to make family time, because I think that's the best thing that we can do, is try to kind of helps you thank the people that get you where you got, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you're devoting time to them because they helped you get to that management role by supporting you and helping you out.
Yeah.
And so you got to give that back. You got to give them back the time, even though it might take you away a little bit here and there, you got to give it back to them.
I love that. What about you, Andrew?
I mean, it's similar in that when I'm driving home from work, I'm trying to shut it off.
Yeah.
I probably fail at it more than Chris does.
I don't know about that.
we'll have to get the wives for confirmation.
Laying in bed at night just thinking about, you know, something that we're trying to figure out or how we're going to schedule something. Yeah. I struggle with that. But it's something that you have to do. You have to try and shut it off to devote time to your family.
So hard. Yeah. I think about the problems, like not like worrying about those, stressing about those, thinking about those, trying to come up with solutions for those. And then obviously the phone calls.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like some of them have to be answered, whether it's employee related, which, as like you said, managers, you start to take on some of those.
Exactly.
Illness is kind of going throughout our team the past couple of weeks, I'm sure you guys too. And it's like, you know, another one's out. And I'm getting the text at 8:30. I'm like, oh gosh, not another one. But so it's a mix. Gosh, it's such a balance between, seeing that and then being able to like process it, put it away, and then devote your attention back to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
As a younger father and manager, I'm trying to learn that. So I can imagine that you guys have grown a lot in that area. What, well, that's awesome. What, as you guys, I'll start with you, Andrew, as you go into 2025, like what does success look like for Coastal Cabinets? What are a couple areas you guys are trying to grow within the business, within the marketplace to kind of differentiate yourselves?
So something that's new for us that we started 4 months ago, we brought all our own finishing. So the painting of the cabinets, the staining of the cabinets, in-house.
Nice.
So now we're doing all of our own finishing compared to using a finisher here in town, which it's twofold. It we're able to control quality and schedule at that point, which are obviously two really important things.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to this next year, just really hunkering down on the quality, focusing on quality of how it's built, how it's finished, and how it's installed. I mean, those are three key things that differentiate, different cabinet companies within town. So we want to be top tier.
Yeah.
What's
kind of held you back from not doing the finishing part in the past? Did you have to bring on new people, get new equipment? Is it like an investment from that standpoint?
Yeah, so we acquired another 5,000 square feet where we have all of our own finishing. We were able to just kind of move people around to fill that role. We had a gentleman that has finishing experience that he would do kind of one-offs, but now he's doing it full-time, and then we got a helper with him. So we're fortunate we're able to just shift people around, but we have more space now. And so
that's awesome. Anything else to add, or is that kind of the big initiative?
That's
for
the big thing
guys?
For us, I think, going into 2025 is being able to really focus on that, and kind of manage our timeline and our scheduling better. That helps contractors as well. You know, they can rely on that timeline that we've told them. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
What do you feel like, and this may be something that you guys have talked about and obviously represented for 40 plus years, but that separates Coastal Cabinets from other cabinet makers and installation companies in the area?
I mean, I would say, you know, our attention to detail is probably one of our bigger things. Our quality of our cabinetry that we produce is probably top tier. There's definitely other companies in town that are in that realm too, but that, and with our, I think our ability now coming to 2025 to be able to do our own finishing is going to be what sets us apart from everyone else.
It's good. I love it. Well, I'll finish it on this, and this is just bringing it back to leadership. Go Andrew first and then Chris. Okay. What would be your advice for some of these younger guys, Gideon and
Elijah.
Some of these younger guys that are getting into the industry, or you know, some people that are taking on leadership management roles within the trades, what would be your advice that you've learned over the past, you know, 6+ years that you would want to impart onto them?
One thing I've really learned, and that is in dealing with, you know, a bigger shop at Coastal Cabinets, I mean, and this kind of goes out through more than just guys that work for you. I mean, how you live your life is just love others more than yourself. So that means you're sacrificing for the guys that work for you. You're sacrificing for your wife, for your kids. So it's just really thinking of others as more than yourself. And I think that is going to go a long way in just how you deal and interact with others.
That's
so
awesome.
If it's builder, homeowner, designer, just really focusing on what they need, what they're looking to get.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Chris?
I've got two things. One of them is don't be afraid to say no. So that's a big thing. I mean, we want to say yes to a contractor, a client, a homeowner. Yes, we can do your project. Yes, we can beat that timeline. But, you know, if it can't happen, you got to be able to say it can't happen. Yeah. That's also twofold with employees and things like that too. You know, people wanting to do stuff that, you know, to make the company run efficiently, they can't do that. You got to be able to tell people, you know, this is how we're going to do things. Can't do this and that. The other thing would be to delegate. So you can't do everything, you know, as a leader or a manager, you may want to do everything. I certainly kind of want to do everything or have your hand in that, but you got to find some people that work with you or around you that you can delegate certain tasks to help yourself. And that in turn is going to help you with some of the other things we talked about, you know, your home life and your family and just your own personal well-being, that you're not at a bill, you know, at your workplace for 18 hours a day. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the two big things for me.
I love that. Yeah. I think two things that come to mind is like leaders eat last. If you've ever heard of that from Simon Sinek, and then being a yes man, like both of those things, like you have to be very careful of, cognizant of, as you're trying to develop other people to, you know, increase your brand obviously and build the people from within the company. So, well, this is awesome. I appreciate you guys coming out. Appreciate the conversation. And looking forward to work with you guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Refining Exchange podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to bringing you the next one.